watch the struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Time is 8:29 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by collegeofmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. I'm Drew Croson, at CenterCrow2 on Twitter, at CenterCrow on Venmo. Especial tonight. To one side of me, the rumor monger, Ryan Starrett, at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for... Show me your
sharks.
Papers. Would you say shorts?
Sharks.
Sharks? I was gonna say, show me your tiger cubs. To the other side of me, giving you full Fort Payne ASMR, a man who knows what really happened with Carole Baskin, the AU chief.
They're just playing hide the salami.
We should do the entire episode in Tiger King voice.
That was actually my Captain Ron. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry.
I'm pretty sure
Tiger King is more up here like this.
Yeah. There you go.
Tiger King no more up here like this. I know plenty of people talk like that.
Gosh, Tiger King is the best show in the history of television.
But that's for next week.
Yeah, next week we'll do a full Tiger King recap.
So guys, make sure you watch.
Yeah, make sure you tune in and also watch Tiger King so you can be caught up on Netflix. Yeah. Guys, as you might have become aware, there is no sports. There are no sports. Sports are gone. We are in a sports wasteland that applies to all sports. Two nights ago, I caught myself watching Aussie Rules football only because it was the only sport still on. And then the next day, it announced that it was over. So there are no sports. I think actually... the Belarusian Soccer League might still be going on from someone I talked to, but I have no way of finding how to watch that. So
the Ocho had a lot this weekend, but I think that must have been recorded.
Yeah, all that's pre-recorded stuff.
In sports news as well, the Olympics postponed until 2021.
Right. So like there literally are no sports.
Yeah. That
and so people, we might have a Summer Olympics and then a Winter Olympics within 6 months.
We might have a Tour de France kicking off at the same time as the first Auburn football game.
I mean, we're going to have the Euros.
We might not have Auburn football games.
We're going to have the Euros. Like, well, I guess it's not as bad this time because it would have been Euros and then like 11 months later, the World Cup. But now it's going to be still like 17 months later since they're doing it in the winter of that year. But I know a lot of people might be concerned. I mean, maybe you should be a little concerned about sports later in this year, football and stuff, because the Olympics were canceled today. But I think a big part of the Olympics being canceled was that there were still qualifying events for a lot of the events left to go that weren't going to happen. So they really just couldn't do it.
And because most people think that countries like Australia, it's going to get really bad there.
Yeah.
It's fall.
Yeah. Yeah. The Southern Hemisphere be happening as soon as it all clears up in the Northern Hemisphere.
Basically. That said, it's ravaging some Southern Hemisphere countries now.
Yeah.
Even though the president of Brazil claims it's not that big of a deal. He called it a little bit of a cold. So
I think things are going to go great there. All the gangs are enforcing the curfew in the favelas is what I heard.
Well, the favelas are a fascinating. If you haven't started watching the Amazon series about the Brazilian national team, that's a good one too, because it kind of goes into what's going down with the favelas and the fact that the government of Brazil is just like literally no one trusts it. Brazil's has about 100 million. It's a 2/3 the population of the United States, so it's a gigantic country.
Yeah,
it's a top 10 GDP country. It is a large landmass country. Largest Portuguese-speaking country in the world by a long shot. And
by far.
Like, they spend a lot of money. They travel a lot. It's a growing economy. Meanwhile, we don't ever think about Brazil. We talk about England and Europe. Brazil makes and spends more money than almost every country in Europe.
Well, Brazil is the, like, number two visitor of Disney World. Like, the Disney Corporation makes financial decisions based on Brazilian tourists coming to Disney World.
The Orlando Magic have Portuguese ads that run all around their stadium.
Wow. It's crazy.
Because they are attempting to become Brazil's NBA team.
Why not?
Because of that, they got more.
Yeah.
There are more Portuguese speaking tourists to Orlando than any other language but English and Spanish.
It's like it's like a rite of passage as a Brazilian like teenager to go to Walt Disney World
in Orlando.
This is crazy.
So okay, this show is going to be a little bit different.
Yeah. We teased on to more serious things.
Yeah, we teased this back in the summer in our off-season podcast that we were going to do a show in which we watched the classic 1992 comedy Captain Ron, starring Martin Short and Kurt Russell. But Ryan had never seen it, and that was why. We were like, well, then we have to do it, and we're going to watch
Captain Ron. I'd never heard of it.
That is insane.
92 is years before Ryan was on the scene.
He was a mere twinkle in his parents' eye. His parents were probably in college. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hold on. Come on. My older brother was already born.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, if you don't know, Captain Ron's 1992 American film directed by Tom Eberhardt, produced by David Permit, written by John Dwyer of Austin, Texas, for Touchstone Pictures. It stars Kurt Russell, is titled the titular Captain Ron, a sailor with a quirky personality and a checkered past. And Martin Short is an upper-middle-class suburban family man who hires him to sail a yacht through the Caribbean. Y'all say Caribbean or Caribbean?
It depends on if you're saying pirates with it or not.
Who cares?
I usually say Caribbean, but when I'm thinking about pirates or yachts or sailing,
it's Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's named after the Carib, the Carib people. So
right, but I still say Caribbean.
Caribbean, Caribbean, didn't matter.
So fun fact: I didn't know the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disney existed before the movies.
Oh my god!
The movies came first.
Jeepers, creepers! Huh?
Well, Ryan, you were how old? 8 when that movie came out?
When the first Pirates came out.
Yeah,
it came out like 2001, didn't it?
Nah, I'm thinking 2003.
Let's see.
Could have been 2002, maybe, but.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
I was a freshman in college.
Came out.
I think they keep trying to make those movies so they can finally make a good one.
Curse of the Black Pearl, 2003.
First one's good.
Hang on. The first one is really good.
First one's good.
You guys need to reevaluate how you use the word good.
No, the first one's a good movie.
To an 8-year-old who wants to go see Pirates, that was an amazing movie.
Oh, it's good.
Well, this is like, I used to think the Godzilla movie with Matthew Broderick was good.
No, Pirates 1 is good. 2 and 3, not so much.
When was the last time you watched Pirates 1, Chief?
I don't know.
Exactly.
8 years ago?
About a year. Yeah. I'd say like a year or two ago.
Is it rewatchable? Would you ever think?
Yeah.
Sure.
I want to watch the Pirates of the Caribbean.
I mean, my time is limited.
That.
Oh, I know plenty of people that love those movies.
Man,
the better Caribbean movie though, this is Captain Ron.
Oh, obviously.
Okay, so here's the deal. Martin Short plays a guy named Martin Harvey.
Jack Frost.
Which I think they cast Martin Short to play Martin Harvey. And this whole movie has casting problem. Well, has one massive casting problem. Ryan. Martin Short was and is one of the funniest people who have ever lived. He is hilarious.
Yeah, he was in the Santa Claus 3.
Oh, God.
I'm going to keep that one alone. He was in the film The Three Amigos, which is one of the funniest movies ever made. Anyway, he's one of the funniest SNL guys who's ever done it.
He's played straight man before.
Well, for some reason, they make him the straight man. Kurt Russell, famously a dramatic actor, an action star. He is the comedic role.
If I look up Martin Short in IMDb, his first result is Jack Frost in Santa Claus 3.
Oh, God. Get out of here, Ryan.
Saw that in theaters.
He's Jiminy Glick.
Yes, man. Jiminy Glick's a hilarious character. But, like, okay, again, picture these two characters switched. Make Martin Short Captain Ron.
You don't believe Kurt Russell is inept though. That's why you can't do that. That
and he would throw Martin Short overboard.
Martin Short has Martin Short. I don't know. You believe him as bumbling or inept? You get that from him. He's
he was going for a Steve Martin kind of role.
this is taking nothing from Kurt Russell's performance. I think he is fantastic in this film.
He's amazing in it. Amazing.
I just think Martin Short is a little bit wasted.
We should see what Ryan. Ryan, what was your overall thoughts on this film?
It was a 90s movie. I mean, I think I mentioned to Drew earlier, it was National Lampoon's Caribbean Vacation.
It's
pretty clearly that you got the mom and dad, two kids, and just replace Captain Ron with Cousin Eddie. Call it good.
Yeah, it's very much. I thought that was a very astute observation on that.
Didn't think I could reach for an 80s movie, did you?
Yeah. Have you actually seen Vacation, the original?
Yeah, I've seen all of them. I've seen probably more 80s movies than 90s movies. That's the secret.
Well,
you're 80s doing movies, it right.
Yeah, 80s movies are better than 90s movies.
So, okay, Ryan, to your point, it really is just like a vacation movie.
Yeah.
Because you've got the dad who really wants the perfect family vacation. The son and the daughter who really just wants to hook up with dudes. And the mom who is just a firecracker. The only difference is that Captain Ron would be like if Cousin Eddie was the movie. Like that was Cousin Eddie was.
Oh, it's Christmas Vacation too. He carries that film. If you've ever seen that not great movie.
No, I never saw Christmas Vacation 2.
Yes, there's a Christmas Vacation 2. Oh, so I'm looking at the writer credits. The guy that directed it, Tom Eberhardt. Who directed this?
This is directed.
You're looking at it, aren't you?
By Tom Eberhardt.
Tom Eberhardt. He also did Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Classic.
He did. Yeah, that looks like his best movie that he did here. But yeah, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is great too, Ryan, if you've never seen that.
Of course I've seen that.
But if you think about it, though, Rick Moranis plays a straight man in that too. You got another an SCTV alum, goofy guy, to play a straight man in a comedy. Well, family comedy. So,
that's true.
One of my takeaways from this was that it is a family comedy. There were so many crimes.
So
many crimes in this movie.
Ryan, have you seen it? You mentioned you liked 80s movies. They're chock full of like illegality. That
80s movies are real tone problems in which there are always like either topless scenes, which make no sense, or just random things that should not be in kids' movies.
Yeah, this does. I mean, like you said this was a 90s movie. This is an early 90s movie where you're still getting a little bit of 80s stuff, like random nude scene in the shower.
Yeah, right. And, there's
I don't remember from
5 minutes.
Don't remember it at all.
Right, I remember that.
The first 5 minutes, the 16-year-old is getting engaged, and then when they get to the first island, she's show anything, but you're kind of led to believe she's going to hook up with a bunch of older dudes. Let's see. The kid,
16-year-old,
within
seconds of meeting Captain Ron, the 16-year-old daughter is a sex object. Like Captain Ron is goggling her and thinking that she's the younger wife. Martin Short.
So I would like to point out that chick was 20 when they made this movie. So
duh.
So you don't.
Why not just say she's 18 then?
17 or 18 is what they probably should have done. I don't know. Yeah. It was weird.
So we got the 11-year-old son. He's drinking beer. There's another crime. Yeah. There's the gorillas, which we'll get to the gorillas in a minute. But when they're in jail in Puerto Rico, when they're in jail in Puerto Rico, the agent's like, forget about those guys. You bright revolutionaries in the country, no big deal. I don't know.
But they were throwing them off the island.
Yeah, but you can't really do that, right? That's like saying you're kicking them out of Georgia. It's a U.S. state or territory. It's all the U.S.
No, that was San Juan they were on.
San Juan is the capital of Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, you can kick them out. It's a territory. I think they still have their own sovereignty. They do.
Okay.
They're still their own country. They just sort of pay taxes to us. And
they can't vote, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. They vote for their own. Yeah.
This movie also has a very intense, like, sex scene between Martin Short
and
his wife.
Very.
When they find Clark Gable's initials on the bedpost. Yeah. Again, well, it's romantic. Film.
You know, they don't show it.
Yeah, sure.
Just playing hide and salami.
It's not a
shower where they're drowning. Yeah.
What was the movie rated?
It was PG-13.
Okay.
That's what surprised me is I figured, oh, if this is when there was no PG-13, then maybe it's not rated R. But like,
no, because PG-13,
they made use of their one F-bomb and I guess not full frontal nudity, but pretty close to it.
Oh, they showed nips.
Yeah, from a different angle.
But my observation was it just. Watching it as an adult, because I probably saw it on TBS 20 years ago.
That's going to be a really different movie on TBS.
Not really. They just...
Red Dawn.
Red Dawn.
Red Dawn and Temple of Doom were the first two movies to be released in 1984.
Yep.
Sorry.
I only know that because of Temple of Doom. I didn't know that's what you were looking up. Yeah, that's why there's a ton of 80s movies before that were all PG and had like full on like straight up nudity in it. As long as there was not like sex and a lot of F words, it was going to be PG before that. But yeah, it showed me, I'm like, man, these movies are kind of genius in a way, because all of that went over my head. I didn't see the ladies' breasts as a child. Because I was 8 when we rented this movie from Video Plaza in Fort Payne, Alabama. Shout out to VP, Video Plaza.
Still doing it?
No, God no.
Okay.
They went under before I left town.
I think there is still a local video rental place in Austin, Texas.
Wow. Now that makes sense
for all.
Yeah. But yeah, all that stuff, all the semi-dirty jokes. But there's not a lot of cussing in this movie, so
yeah, it's true. There's not a lot of cussing in Captain Ron.
And for a PG-13 movie, there's not a ton of other stuff. It probably got the PG-13 rating because it showed the nipples in the shower.
Well, and the gorillas are kind of scary if you're a little kid.
Well, They do drop an F-bomb. They use their one.
Yeah. Well, back then, I don't think he even got the one, usually. I maybe would have got it. Got the PG-13 rating for him. But, yeah. It was a different experience watching it as an adult than it was a kid, but it was still fun. I still enjoyed it.
So I've got a question about the 90s in general.
Sure.
You know, I don't really remember the 90s. You guys do. So was every single family simultaneously super rich and in massive debt?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Is that what the 90s was?
That was my observation at the beginning, too. They're like, yeah, we can get out from under this second mortgage and pay off the credit card.
All this credit card debt.
Yes.
250 grand in debt. But also, they look pretty well off.
Like, well, so they have to do that to make them relatable.
So the family in Home Alone, it's right. Griswold. It's like, it's all these are pretty houses. Well, in
are the
nice
Home Alone people
Chicago.
In debt? All I know is Home
no,
people
no,
have
they're
a
just
ton
rich.
Of
they're just super rich.
The yeah. idea, the amount of money they have to take the entire family, an extended family, to Paris for Christmas.
Yeah.
And then go to New York the next year?
They must own a chain of McDonald's.
Yeah. Or an airline.
Yeah.
Caltrans are in some hard times these days, then.
Well, it's true.
Hopefully. Okay, so in this film, Martin Short decides to take his family on a boat that was given to him by his dead uncle that was once owned by Clark Gable. And he wants to go to the island of Saint Pomme de Terre, which is French for potato. Saint Potato. Is that said?
No, he's
yes. No, his Irish. Wife is like, his wife says that means potato. He's like, no, it doesn't. She's like, no, it means potato.
Yeah, Saint Potato.
He's a very Irish saint.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Racist, right?
That is racist. All right, so when they get to Saint Pomme de Terre, they discover that the yacht is in terrible condition. The yacht broker cancels the plan and hires a local sailor, Rico.
We gotta stop right here. Was the yacht broker in blackface?
He was in
or brown
human face,
face,
I think.
Brown face.
It's in Latino face, if that's a thing.
Really?
It was.
No, yeah, I mean, he looked like he had like the biggest spray tan, which again,
brown face
kind of
is a thing, but it was bad.
You mean like Al Pacino?
I don't think he actually was. Yeah, I mean, it was.
He
looked a little Sicilian, maybe. How about that?
He looked like my church Easter drama when they had to put on makeup, I was told, because the lights made you so pale. And now I sort of think we did brown face in our church Easter drama.
Yeah, anyway. Sounds like it.
but yeah, he looked like... I mean, yeah.
So they hire Ron, I guess because Ron's cheap. The yacht broker's like, we're not going to be able to make any money off of this yacht.
Yeah. Yes. He says hire somebody local is what the guy says. So they the local guy shows up, pulls out of a beater of a car and rolls up, and it's Captain Ron.
The car falls into the ocean, famously. Yes. The guy whose car it actually is comes out shooting at Captain Ron because he's stolen it. Guys, if you haven't seen Captain Ron, stop this podcast. It was $3 on Amazon to rent.
Yeah.
Watch the film.
That was a great gig because you never see anything of this guy on the shoreline.
Right.
Runs up and he goes, you stole my wife, but you're not stealing my car. Yes. Gunshots.
Yeah, that's how we meet Captain Ron.
He gets tackled by a group of people on the shore.
Apparently very protective of Captain Ron.
Captain Ron's the kind of guy that has a lot of friends.
And a lot of enemies.
And a lot of enemies.
Because he makes a lot of enemies by making certain kinds of friends. I really think Captain Ron is this, like, he's this character that there's a large number of people who would love to just go move to Belize and become Captain Ron.
Yes, absolutely.
Me, I am one of these people.
I didn't realize
without the stealing
physical right? comedian. I didn't realize how good of a physical comedian Kurt Russell was.
Oh yeah, man.
This movie though, because usually he's in action movies or he's in, you know, serious, like, you know, miracle kind of movies, and just there's the scene where he's the first time he's putting oil into the engine, he just kind of throws it all over the kid. There's the he walks up on the dock, he takes the sunglasses off, and there's the eye patch under there, and just totally sells it. catching the fly, letting it go, catching the fly, letting it go.
The scene where he's asleep in the bed with his glass eye showing is great. Before we go much further, before I forget, I want to say, Ryan, you now have to watch three other movies.
Oh, jeez.
Overboard, starring Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
Oh, man. Forgot about Overboard.
Overboard is a great movie. Don't watch the new one. I haven't seen it, but it can't be as good as the original.
Kurt Russell's an American hero.
Escape from New York.
Which, okay, Chief, have a theory. Is Ron just Snake Plissken? And
yes.
Is this just a sequel to Escape from New York?
It's a prequel.
It's a prequel.
Because Escape from New York is in the future. So.
Oh, right. So this is what Snake's doing.
Yeah.
Before, yeah.
Right.
Wow.
And then you have to watch Escape from
Metal Gear Solid Snake.
Snake in Metal Gear Solid is very much modeled after and named after Snake Plissken, yes.
Okay, hang on.
Escape from New York. And then Escape from L.A.
Yes. God, you have to make Escape from L.A.
Doesn't he make a full-court basketball shot to save his
life? Oh, you're not kidding. He does look like Snake.
Yes. Man.
And so he, in Escape from L.A., a gang leader is going to kill him unless he can make a basketball shot. And I want to say it's like full court.
I think that sounds right.
Like, and he does it. And he doesn't throw it. He jump shoots it like a full court. And he makes it.
Escape from L.A.
Cowboy boots.
So, Ryan, this is a spoiler, but I'm just going to go ahead. Escape from New York is a like very serious like sci-fi horror type movie. It's not thriller, I would say, movie.
Okay.
Escape from L.A. is just an absurdist comedy.
Yeah.
And there, it's a sequel. To Escape from New York.
And it's like the opposite.
Is it a TV sequel?
No.
It has the same people in it.
I saw Escape from L.A. before I ever saw Escape from New York. How about that?
Yeah.
Another Video Plaza rental. But yes, you have to watch all three of those movies, Ryan. It's worth it.
I got to find some movies for you guys to watch then.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's going to be Holes. Seen it.
Yeah, thanks.
Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone? Not going to watch it.
Are you going to read it, though? Probably not.
Even less.
Well, that's the witchcraft books, right, Crow?
Yeah, I mean, I had to burn the church house.
So, back to Captain Ron.
All right, so the Harveys decide to stop. Wait, time out. We haven't gotten to that part yet. Wikipedia.
We're still going through the recap. Okay.
So, our brown face clad yacht broker.
He hires Ron Rico, and we've met Ron. Turns out Ron claims to have piloted the USS Saratoga, which
in Vietnam, maybe?
That scene is one of my favorites in the whole movie, where he's parking that boat, and he's coming in at, like, full clip into a marina. And people are diving off their boats and leaving a restaurant that he's going to run in, and he just yams it, like, completely stops it on a dime, gets out. Looks at a waiter and orders a margarita and then starts dancing.
And then everyone starts dancing.
That moment, I remember watching this film and going, man, I want to be Captain Ron so bad.
Have you ever been sailing on a sailboat?
Okay. Yes.
I have as well. It is interesting. I'll say that.
It's a good time.
Sure. Sure. My granddad.
My wife and I's first date was on a tiny sailboat, like a dinghy almost. And
my granddad was lucky enough to fulfill many of his dreams in his life, and one of his longtime dreams was owning a sailboat, and he did that for a short time and took sailing lessons and then insisted that we all go out sailing. And God rest his soul, that was terrifying. but we did it, and it was something. It's not easy. It's not easy work sailing a boat.
No, it's not easy. Even tiny boats, it was not hard. I almost decapitated my ex-girlfriend, now wife.
It was the boat I sailed on was not quite as big as what was the name of this boat? Do we know?
The Wanderer.
The Wanderer. It wasn't quite that big, but it was something. But yeah, so a family learning how to sail is tough, and Ron, the montage-esque way in which they show Ron doing that is pretty accurate, I guess. So.
Yeah.
All right, back to the plot.
Back to the plot. So he leaves immediately on the boat, because he's getting shot at by the owner of the car that he took to the boat.
Yeah.
Then he takes Ben's money in a game of Monopoly. Ben, the child, gave Ben a beer and then later charges Ben for the beer because Ron's the king.
$2.50.
It's pretty amazing. He refers to Martin as boss, but Martin does not ever like him. Never thinks that Ron knows what he's doing. He also gets really jealous that Ron might be kind of attractive to his wife and maybe daughter.
Yeah. Look,
Kurt Russell is attractive to everybody.
Of course he is.
He's a beautiful man. To be fair,
in this movie, they didn't do something that you might see in a vacation movie where the daughter would have been overtly sexually attracted to Ron and vice right. versa. The only thing they have is him thinking that she's his wife at the beginning, but then after that, all Ron has eyes for is the wife. He's looking down her shirt and all Ron has is
put the camera on her eye.
Yeah.
Sorry, I walked all over your joke.
Geez. Yeah, well, it's fine. they did spare us the weird, awkward sexual tension between the daughter and Ron. So I
had plenty of sexual tension with everybody else in the movie. So
I think felt like they needed to do that when they realized they had written her to be 16 years old.
Yeah.
Because had they written her to be 18, they probably would have given us tons of it.
Oh, sure.
So then,
which they could have. It doesn't make any sense that they didn't make her 18.
Because she's 20 in real life and does not look 16 in any way.
No, not at all. She's also in one of my sorry to step all over that again. She's in one of my other all time favorite movies, Can't Hardly Wait.
First,
she's just an extra in that, but she's in it. It's good. Ryan, have you ever even heard of that movie?
Not even a chance.
Okay. Ben Harvey's name in real life is also Ben, which is terrific.
Yeah, they weren't very creative with the names in this movie.
And he used to be on the TV show The Nanny.
I was gonna bring that up. Wasn't he also in Beethoven or Father of the Bride? He's in one of these other 90s family comedy movies.
I don't see that. I see he was on Jeopardy as a contestant.
Really?
Yeah.
Celebrity Jeopardy, maybe?
Maybe. Yeah, Teen Celebrity Jeopardy.
D3,
The Mighty Ducks. He was a sports announcer.
That's right.
He was on the television show, one of my mom's favorites, Numbers on CBS.
Really?
Yeah.
Just one episode?
He seems like a one-off. Oh, he's a one guest episode. Appearance. He's the victim.
He was a train expert.
Oh, it looks like he did a lot of voice work in the mid-90s.
He was a...
This was his first acting gig.
He's currently the director of operations. He's currently the director of operations for Universal Studios Hollywood.
No way.
Not a bad gig.
Is he really?
Yeah, according to Wikipedia.
That is wild.
Benjamin Salisbury. He was also in Domino's pizza commercials featuring Fudgems. Domino's then knew Mini Brownies in 2006.
Yeah, this was his first acting gig. Interesting. Ryan, have you ever seen the Mighty Ducks movies?
Oh.
Guys, his name was...
Come on.
Never mind. His name is Benjamin. Everything he does.
Yes.
It's like he can't... He can't.
I wonder if that's his contract. Like, no, I have to be Ben.
Yeah. Listen, I won't answer.
To be fair, a lot of times when you're an extra in things, they just give you your actual name as your name.
Well, it seems like that's usually reserved for the stars too. Like, you know, Martin Short is Martin.
But well, like The Office, everyone's their real name.
Like half of them.
All the writers who happen to be also on the set are named like Creed is named Creed. Angela's middle name is Angela.
Yes. That is a very Office thing.
So Captain Ron decides to take him to this random island in the Caribbean. Martin decides to go on a nature walk, runs into guerrilla army members.
What? They get lost.
Yeah.
This is the island next to St. Croix.
I have a question to ask at the end of all this about this, but at this point in time, we feel like Ron has gotten them lost.
Oh, for sure he got them lost.
Because their whole thing is Martin wants to take them to all these off the beaten track islands, and they think they've arrived at one of those, and it's not. It's a different island. Because they don't want to go to all the touristy places is what they want to do. It's supposed to be a spontaneous vacation that Martin is taking him on, although he's
got a little too spontaneous.
Well, he has thoroughly planned it out. He complains more than one time during the movie about their spontaneous vacation that he has meticulously planned.
So moving right along. He gets Martin gets captured by these gorillas. There's a gorilla joke.
This is where I learned about gorillas, like gorilla fighters, from this movie at 8 years old.
Yes.
Because I was like, gorillas on this island? Oh, man. And then it's just some dudes, and I'm like, what? And then my dad explained to me what he had to explain the joke to me
as an 8-year-old. So then Ron bargains for Martin's freedom by saying, hey, we'll give you guys a ride to the next island over. They give him some guns. Martin gets mad because he doesn't want any guns on his boat, and then tosses all the guns overboard. And that was a hilarious scene because he realizes that he's now powerless against these gorillas who have guns. Yes. He does.
Well, so then they give the guns were to protect them from the pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
Like the ride, as they point out in the movie. But Ron,
I was confused because about the movie, like I knew about the ride, but
today.
Wait, you thought the ride was from the movie?
Yes. Because if you go there now, it is themed for the movie.
Right.
Two seconds of it are. They have like Jack Sparrow at the end. The rest of it has nothing to do with that movie. Are you what?
Today you found out that the Pirates of the Caribbean ride is not old. It is older than the movies.
Pause the movie to look this up.
How many years old when you discovered that?
just turned 25 last week.
It's one of the original rides.
Well, I'm not an original person.
It's also referenced in the film Jurassic Park when Ian Malcolm says, yeah, but John, when the Pirates of the Caribbean breaks down, the pirates don't eat the tourists. One of the best lines in the film. Now, he was a chaotician, but it doesn't mean he sees the future.
Yeah. Ryan probably didn't catch that. I didn't catch it when I was a kid.
No, I was just looking at the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
You have to have seen Jurassic Park in the millions of times.
Jurassic Park came out 2 years before you were born, didn't it?
And 2 years after Captain Ron came out.
Man.
You think about the way this movie looks versus the way that movie looks. This movie looks like it was shot 40 years before
Jurassic Park came out. The most dated part of this movie is the opening nearly 10-minute like credits and him going through the driving to work. They're just showing traffic in New York. That's all they show. It's why
Chicago.
It's actually or Chicago. Yeah, it's not bad filmmaking because they're establishing what a mundane
upper middle class,
just driving in every day and packed in on the elevator. Somebody sneezing all over him. Which I thought was
very timely.
Very timely. There's a bike messenger that brings his entire bike on a crowded elevator, only to discover that his target is on the elevator, so he doesn't have to ride all the way up.
Perfect.
But yeah, I'm sorry. We've stepped right in the middle of the plot again.
No, this is good.
So we're back. Where are we?
We've just
got the gorillas. Point
where Catherine gorillas. And Martin
on board.
They have sex because they see Clark Gable's initials with Carol Lombard's
initials. We skipped way ahead. Well, not really, I guess.
This is the second sex scene, right?
Yeah, this is the second.
When they get to their next destination, it's San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
They are arrested for smuggling the gorillas.
Well, they're all happy because they're like, all right, we're at San Juan.
Which is America.
Yes, as we discussed earlier. Sort of American territory. There's something that happens in between there.
There's also learning how to sail and cleaning up.
Yeah, there's three different times in the movie where they think they're going to fire Captain Ron. And something happens and they're like, oh, we can't fire him. And once they get to San Juan, it's like, that's it. Martin's ready to be done with him because he's crazy. He's a crazy person. He says he's eating my brain is the line he uses.
I love that. He's grabbing his head and says, he's eating my brain.
And so they decided they're going to fire him. And he tries to have it out with Captain Ron in the middle of Carnival, it looks like. I don't know what they call it there in Puerto Rico, but it's a...
Caroline and Ben are partying. That's what
they call it in the movie.
They call it Carnival.
The children are partying with locals they've never met.
Getting tattoos.
Caroline gets
strip. Playing strip poker with a prostitute.
Not yet. they have this argument, and then they lose the children. And once they lose the children... They go to the police, and I guess Martin tells them that they transported revolutionaries to the island. And, they have it's the trope of the nagging wife. She's, like, giving him crap because he did that while they're in jail. Happens in this movie. Rightfully so, because he's an idiot for having said it. He was trying to get Ron in trouble, though. Then we find out this other stuff about the partying with the locals, big party at the boat.
Captain Ron loses his eye, his glass eye.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's why they get separated, in fact.
Right. So then Martin and Catherine get released from jail. But
with the help
they're
of the state
forced, government. They're forced to leave.
Yes.
At that moment.
Did anybody look up who that federal agent was? He has to be like one of the writers or something. He's a terrible actor. I mean, just awful.
What was his name? Magistrate?
No, that's the guy that gives them all the belongings.
Oh, right. General Armando. His name is Sunshine Logroño.
Dan Butler.
Yeah, it's Bill, yeah. Yeah, Dan Butler.
He's an actor and writer known for Silence of the Lambs, Frasier, Crazy Stupid Love, and Captain
America. Yeah, wait, I know that guy. He's actually not a bad actor at all.
His scene in this is just terrific.
He was the voice of Leela's dad in the television show Hey Arnold.
He was in all the Hey Arnold stuff.
Interesting.
He was Rodan in Silence of the Lambs.
Robert Briscoe in Frasier. One of the best television shows ever made.
Boo, 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 boo.
Big Frasier head over here.
He is the federal agent, State Department guy that comes to rescue them out of there. And it's over the top, his performance.
Again, he's like, forget about bringing revolutionaries into the country. You got to leave. Forget your kids. But, you know.
Yeah, they're going to make them
leave.
Don't
worry about the insurrection.
And then they get to the boat to figure out find out that there's a big party going on, and they're very confused. And then they find out that their daughter, Caroline, by the way, did you notice that, Ryan? I suppose you probably
did.
Has met a local fella named, what was his name? Mamba?
I think that's right.
Who has tattooed her, and then they ask her where the tattoo is, and she said, well, it's kind of a private place.
Yes.
So she let some strange man named Mamba tattoo her. And then the
Martin
kid
Short's
shows up.
Line is like something like, oh, but Mamba could see it, or something like that.
The kid shows up and has an eagle tattooed across his chest and a beer in his hand, correct?
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
Certainly.
Ben lives his best life throughout this movie.
Martin freaks out, though. He just loses it. Continue. You guys know what happens.
He fires Captain Ron. They leave.
Because there's a strip poker game going on with his son.
Yeah.
Another crime.
And a prostitute. I can only assume is a prostitute.
They leave Captain Ron in Puerto Rico.
Yeah. And Martin also makes threats to the prostitute's pimp.
Yeah. So then, after they leave him in Puerto Rico, he gets the Pirates of the Caribbean actually now take over the ship.
Pirates.
And now Martin and his family are stuck floating on a raft, which then lands in Cuba, where they discover the yacht there. Somehow Captain Ron.
I know they just skip over the whole They just skipped over the whole taking the boat part. It's like, oh yeah, well they're coming. All right, I guess we're on a raft now.
Yeah, yeah. How did Captain Ron get to Cuba?
He's Captain Ron, man. He was in Puerto Rico. He can find his way to Cuba.
They land in Cuba. This is what Wikipedia says. The pirates find them, but with the help of Captain Ron, they are able to escape with the yacht. There's a lot. That's doing a lot of work. That
yeah. Wow. There's a lot that happens here. The thing I noticed the most is a thing I didn't catch as a kid or teenager. The accuracy with which they depict Cuba is they do this through having Ron drive a 1950s Chevy, I believe is what it is, with which is all anybody drives in Cuba because that's the last cars that they could import there. But he drives it up, you know, does a little Fast and Furious action in the middle of the movie. And it, surprising, I was like, wow, this is that one little detail makes you feel like, okay, this is actually Cuba when it was probably somewhere in LA. But he drives with the family in the car.
Every place they go, what usually happens is Martin Short realizes where they are and flips out, or realizes they're not where they're supposed to be and flips out. They don't ever get to an island or a location without a reaction that they're not where they're supposed to be. It's kind of the trope in this film. Definitely happens in Cuba.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Their first destination is the only destination, I think, that is their actual destination that they make
it. Right. And San Juan.
Okay, and San Juan. You're, yeah.
So they had to get through the storm to get there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We didn't even mention the storm.
Right.
That's why that's why they couldn't fire him there, is because he had gotten them there through the storm.
Sure.
That he decided to sail into.
Martin tries to choke him out in the middle of when they're almost there.
Now, that was a great line. I don't know if you picked up the background dialogue, but Captain Ron says, somebody grab his tongue, put a stick in his mouth. And I think it's his wife that says, he's had too much caffeine.
I didn't get that.
Oh, so one of my favorite scenes. So, okay, they have to figure out a way to get the boat going.
Right.
Because the engine's not working because it doesn't have any oil. Earlier in the movie, Captain Ron references that, if I remember correctly, he says, it's a diesel. All diesels love oil. Diesels love oil the way pirates love rum. That is not true.
Yeah.
And even as a kid, I was like, wait a minute. I don't think diesels even use that much oil. Anyway, he just knew that no one else knew anything about boats, and neither did he. That's so it. We'll just keep pouring oil into this engine as it just drained at the bottom.
Yeah, yes.
Anyway, he plays hurt because he knows that Martin and his family have learned skills that he's taught them.
Yes, well, the important scene that leads up to this is while he has dropped Martin off to go get the boat ready to leave while he distracts the pirates. For some reason, the family stays in the car with him. This is the most absurd thing in the whole film.
Right.
They should have all gotten out of the car. And gone
exactly.
But you don't have this scene without leaving them in the car. They go, he backs in, turns out the lights and waits for the pirates to drive by. And then Ben starts complaining about Martin ruining everything, and the daughter starts to stick up for him and then can't think of anything that Martin has done right on this trip. And then you see Ron look extremely guilty and contemplative over in the driver's seat, and then just like zooming in on his face, contemplative. And then that leads to this where they finally get back to the boat. Ron fakes being hurt.
Yep. Ron fakes
the perfect time when there's pirates shooting at the people up
right,
on deck.
Right.
But a good time for a life lesson.
Yeah.
But they get those sails up. Then the Coast Guard, the U.S. Coast Guard, fires the pirates, scaring them away. And then the family and Ron get all the way to Miami.
There's a great gag there. Earlier in the movie, you've seen Martin Short put a hole in the boat and nearly set it on fire with a flare. And at this point, the wife, whose name I can't remember her name, but she's just had it with these pirates, and she's standing up through gunfire to get the flare gun back out. She says, you put a hole in our boat, I'm going to put one in theirs. And then she aims at it and she fires. And then you see this huge, like, explosion of water in front of the, in front of the boat. And, you know, everybody's like, whoa. And then you, then it pans over to see the, Coast Guard ship that is.
So what's funny is this is, I had to check the years on this to see which movie came first, just like the ride in the Pirates of the Caribbean. but like this was reminiscent of one of the, probably one of the best movie climaxes, at least of like action movies, in Saving Private Ryan, where you got Tom Hanks just firing his pistol at the tank on the bridge.
Sure.
And it blows up and you think it's him. Really, it's the plane flying in and it blows it up. And I was like, man, like that, this is the same kind of
6 years later.
Same setup. Right. Yeah. Yeah. it's, maybe Saving Private Ryan took it from Captain Ron.
I'm sure it did. Captain Ron is one of the more influential films of our time.
This movie, though, watching it, it doesn't have a good rating anywhere, but I was watching it and I'm like, this is not, like, there's nothing bad about the movie. I know Ryan has mentioned the illegal things that happen in it, but it's not.
Well, that's nothing. Just like bad things. It's not, I'm just making a bad movie.
Well, this movie freaking rules.
Yeah, this movie is great. Yeah. I don't understand why it is rated low. Well, like, it's not even like the most absurd movie you could ever watch.
It has a
like,
23% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, and it's not even like absurd. Like,
no, it's not bad.
Well, let me put it this way. If you had said that at the very beginning of the movie, if you set this during Christmas time, this would be a Christmas classic just like Home Alone.
Sure.
Oh, for sure.
It's equally as over the top, funny action.
But it's not, name me it's a not better, as over the top as Home Alone. I don't
name me
like
a better ocean based comedy. You can't.
Down Periscope.
Oh, man. You nailed it, actually. Dang it.
I don't know if it's better, but it's as good.
That movie rules, man.
Mikhail's Navy's not bad either.
Paul Anka plays Donaldson, I believe.
Yeah.
So the final scene in this movie.
No, it's great.
Again, it's just like it's like another great movie of our time, Inception, where it's like, oh, what actually happens at the end? Yeah, the audience is just left to wonder, does he drive his boat into the cruise ship?
No, I just drive.
No.
What's the final scene? He is lined up with. He's about to drive that boat into the side of the other boat. No, there's no way he decides
to turn around and start a life at sea, I guess. And right. They wave at Captain Ron, who is now taking a job as the captain of some wealthy people.
But he's dressed completely different. So this
and has both of his eyes.
Both of his eyes. He has slick back hair. Not the hippie dude that lived on a Caribbean island for years or whatever. So this is what I've been waiting the whole pod to ask. Is Captain Ron the hero of this movie? Because he put this family through what he knew they needed to be put through. Is he an angel?
Yeah, I would say not only is he the hero, the case could be made he's like supernatural.
Yeah.
A family counselor?
He's like a fairy godmother.
He is like Bagger Vance.
Yeah. Sure. He is a fairy godfather, as it were. Or an angel.
He's the wise sage who comes to help these land lovers learn the ways of the sea. Land lovers.
You ever heard that great song by country supergroup Alabama called Angels Among Us?
I believe there are angels among us. Send down to us from somewhere up above.
Is Captain Ron an angel among us?
I don't know.
But really, was his goal...
This was their darkest hour.
Yeah, exactly. Was his goal to try to break this family up and screw them over? Or...
And
was he just giving
females?
Them what they paid for? Yeah. Was he giving them what they paid for? He gives Martin Short a... Did he have a change of heart at some point? Is this something he always does? He gives a... It's like a experience for...
That's a great question.
For upper middle class people that need to have a life-changing experience?
Well, I think my answer might be a little complicated.
Yeah, maybe.
I think he's a little bit of an anti-hero. I mean, he does deliver the main characters to their positive end. He gets the results, but he has a little morally gray way of doing it.
When life held troubled times and had me down on my knees, there's always been someone come along to comfort me. A kind word from a stranger to lend a helping hand. A phone call from a friend just to say I understand. Now, ain't it kind of funny at the dark end of the road? Someone light the way with just a single ray of hope.
It's Randy Owen. Randy Owen, what a poet.
I believe Captain Ron is an angel.
That's my children's choir singing on that song.
I'll no way.
You. Yeah, oh yeah. First Baptist Church. Baby.
Are you in it?
No, I wasn't, thankfully, not there. They took us up to Nashville to record the song and video. And everyone got sick. Just everyone straight up got sick from whatever food they were serving there in craft services. And I was not there, thankfully. But escape. I was a member of that children's choir, but I did not go. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Well.
So, Captain Ron, final verdict, Ron?
Final verdict, yeah. Give it out of 10.
I enjoyed it. Out of 10, as far as quality or enjoyment?
Yeah.
Enjoyment,
I'd give it like a solid 8. Like, I had a good time.
Would you recommend this film to other people who have never seen it?
That'd have to know their taste, but probably, yeah.
Okay. What about if they are quarantined for the next 14 days? Right.
Yeah, captive audience quarantined for the next 14 days.
Like, they're not going anywhere. They might as well watch Captain Ron.
If you're looking for a good laugh, yeah, certainly.
Is it worth a $3 rental?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Pile your family together in the room and watch it with them. And then it's like everybody's paying $1 to watch it.
Yeah. Have them look away when the boobies are on the screen. Which they're blinking, you miss it. Like, I think
just
that's really
tell them it's a different time. It was a different time back in 1992. People were way more okay with this stuff back in the Clinton administration.
Yeah. This movie was made in the Bush administration. Came out before the Clinton. This was a Bush administration movie.
That's true.
If you got it on rental,
Clinton became president in 92.
You know, back in the day, this movie probably didn't go on rental till 1993, if I had to guess, because, you know, things used to.
It took forever.
Yeah. So.
And it would probably have been right in the front center, like when you or the back center. Of Blockbuster.
Absolutely.
You walked in. You got to go to the very back, the middle, walk past everything else before you get to the good stuff.
At Video Plaza, I guarantee you they had 15 copies of this movie.
How much do you think this movie made at the box office?
Oh, I read this already. It lost money.
Okay. Chief.
Now, are we saying this? We're not going profit. We're just wanting to know how much it made at the box office.
Yeah. Right. So we'll do budget and box office.
I'm going to say $25 million at the box office.
Pretty good. It was it made $22.5 million in the box office, and the budget was $24 million.
Okay, I was gonna say the budget was 30, but okay.
Yeah, I'm assuming they did some. Either they paid Kurt Russell and Martin Short a boatload of money, no pun intended, or they did a lot of on scene. They filmed a lot of it in the Caribbean.
This would have been Martin Short's peak, so he was probably paid
his powers.
Kurt Russell probably was paid quite a bit of money for this too, because this would have been around the same time as Soldier, which was a Kurt Russell starring sci-fi flick, and Stargate was around this era. Stargate was probably 1996, so it was a little later.
What else did Russell do in this time?
I'm looking at IMDb right now with Kurt Russell, just because it's so good. Like, his this
Tequila
time,
Tequila Sunrise in 88, Winter People, Tango and Cash,
Tango and Cash. Oh, if you you gotta watch Tango and Cash, Ryan. You gotta watch
his,
Tango.
His very next movie in 1993 is Tombstone. So
He
goes. I have it on IMDb.
Two classics.
He goes. Captain Ron, Tombstone, and then he's the uncredited voice for Elvis in Forrest Gump, then Stargate, then Executive Decision, then Escape from
LA. Executive Decision, yes.
Dude. Are we just gonna skip over that he was Elvis in Forrest Gump though?
Yeah, he was. It was Elvis in Forrest Gump.
He's a big. Well, he was also Elvis in Bubba Hotep later in his career,
and also in 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Yes. Right? Wasn't he in Bubba Hotep with
No, he Bruce was Campbell? Not. He was, you're thinking about 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Okay.
Which is a great movie too. That's a man. It's a wild movie.
He was Elvis in a TV movie in 1979.
Well, Brian, were you aware that Kurt Russell was a Disney contracted child actor?
I was not.
Yes. Yes. He has been acting since he was like 9 or 10. Like,
he's been acting since acting's been acting, as they say.
His first role is Kevin in Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
1962.
He was a child actor.
He's currently playing Santa Claus in an upcoming Christmas movie called The Christmas Chronicles 2.
Oh, yeah. He's in The Christmas Chronicles on Netflix. Is there a Christmas movie? I never saw it either. Heard it's all right. Yeah,
he's great. And he was in Fast and Furious 7.
Oh, Jesus. And 8, I believe.
Yep. You mean The Fate of the Furious?
Oh, good God.
We should do all of those movies. Those movies
freaking. I'll do up through 6. I'm done after.
What?
I'm out.
The best one is 5. Not only is it the best Fast and
Furious. Is 5 the Brazil one?
Yeah. 5 is the best Fast and Furious movie and one of the best movies.
Oh, it's great.
To come out in the last 20 years.
Four, 5, and 6 are great. And they brought Justin Lin back for this, the one that was supposed to come out soon but has been delayed now. But I'm not going to be tricked into it because 8 is one of the most god-awful movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
Now, I haven't seen it yet. That's probably what I'm going to do during quarantine. But I've been told that Hobbs and Shaw is like incredibly good.
They're not going to trick me into seeing that movie. They almost
Hobbs
did.
And Shaw?
I swore off them after 8, man. I went and saw 8 against my better judgment because I did not like 7, and 8 was so bad.
What? I liked 7.
Oh, 7 is so bad. 8 is one of the worst movies I've ever seen at theater. It is so bad. So bad.
Hobbs and Shaw, I'm going to watch it maybe this week. I've heard it is incredible.
The thing that kept me from being tricked into seeing that movie was the "I'm Black Superman" or whatever that Idris Elba says in that movie in the trailer. It's awful, horrendous.
T's and P's for Idris Elba, who has coronavirus.
I'm sure he'll be fine. He's in great shape.
Okay.
And he caught it early, so he caught it before he had symptoms. So he's probably good. Because
well, guys, pay somebody coming to the end of our run. Hey, next week we're going to talk about Tiger King, and we've got a new segment that I wanted to tease out. It's not my own. I heard about it on the ticket in Dallas Radio, and I'm stealing it. Basically, how you got into that is the name of the segment. And we're going to have I'm going to try to get Josh Black to come on and talk about professional wrestling because he's super big into that. Basically, just like, how you are a huge fan of whatever, and not a ton of people are. How did you get into that?
I'll talk about how I got into the Yakuza series of video games. How about that?
Well, I was going to ask you about Star Wars, but
Star Wars is obvious. Everybody loves Star Wars.
No, not like you. I enjoy Star Wars movies, but you love Star Wars.
That's true. That's true. Do we want to
fish too?
Yeah, we could get into fish. That's the probably the one.
Not the Ryan. I don't know. That's the Ryan. Animals. What are we talking to you about?
Yeah, what's your weird?
Figure it out.
Do we want to talk about Kansas, the Auburn Kansas game that was a year ago as we record this just before we sign off?
We're recording this on We've Got Jared Day.
Yes, we got Jared Day.
Yes, we've got Jared Day.
It's been a year since we beat Kansas so badly that I'm surprised they played basketball again this year.
We beat them so badly that I got in the studio and recorded We've Got Jared.
Yeah, yeah.
We beat them so bad they didn't
actually
make the tournament.
Came out right before the game started, if I remember correctly.
Wait, Kansas made the tournament. Well, yeah, they didn't make the tournament this year.
We beat Kansas in their last NCAA tournament game.
They were the number one overall team when the tournament started.
The tournament this never year? Started.
Sorry, yeah, never this year they would have been the number one overall seed.
Well, yeah, but the tournament never started.
Too bad.
There was no bracket. There was no selection committee this year.
The one thing I just remember about that game is sitting on my couch because I think that was a later game, right?
Yeah, it was like a 8 or 9
o'clock. Yeah, sitting on my couch, everyone else had gone to bed, and I just was cackling for a majority of the game because we couldn't miss. They couldn't do anything. We just
got Jared came out that afternoon, and the game was that evening.
Yeah. And then
that is one of the few games I've just laughed during. It was that much fun.
I mean, that was a team that nobody thought we were going to beat. Remember the Kansas podcast had me on?
Oh, yeah.
And they were very disrespectful. Not disrespectful, but just like did not think that Auburn had any chance. Because Kansas had as many Final Four appearances as Auburn has tournament appearances. And so it was like, look, you guys don't have a chance.
That's not very many. I mean, good job, Kansas, I guess.
Or titles. Sorry, they have as many titles as Auburn has tournament appearances.
Again, that's not very many.
It was pretty wild. Like they've made the tournament every year for the last like 35 years.
Yeah. Well, last year was the first time they lost the Big 12.
Didn't make it this year, did they?
Yeah.
How do you count that? No, that's a story.
We're gonna find out.
Streak's over.
We're gonna find out how they count that. We're gonna find out what people do in terms of like streaks like that.
Yeah.
We're gonna find out like because a lot of these coaches. That's a huge bonus. It's like Bruce Pearl probably has that in his contract. Make the tournament and you get.
Dude, I wonder if there weren't schools behind the scenes lobbying the NCAA not to give out bids.
You might be right.
It'll cost
$500,000 if they give out a bid for a lot of schools.
Yep. That just hit me when you said that. And I didn't even think about that. I guarantee you there were schools lobbying behind the scenes not to give out those bids so they didn't have to pay out the coaches. Oh, that's. Burns me up.
And the ADs might get bonuses for that too. I mean, it's a thing. And like, so how are they going to deal with those bonuses? How are they going to deal with advertising and all that stuff? Like, yeah. So for that matter, like, think about a sport that's much less well funded. My favorite sport of professional cycling.
Sure.
It might not exist next year.
It's going to be rough for
like,
you.
Legitimately, there are going to be a lot of teams, and like the Bundesliga, there are going to be a couple of teams that just cannot pay their teams.
That's why the Premier League, I think, has they're just determined they're going to finish this season whenever they have
because they only need like was it 11, 9 games,
something like that.
9 games left,
and which is a lot, and it's going to screw up next season. It's going to screw up whatever they do, but they have all these deals where the teams aren't going to get money. And the league's not going to get money unless they play those games. And some of these leagues are just canceled. And Premier League's like, no, we're not doing that. And that's why.
And I think the Bundesliga do the same thing, but I think they may have already canceled.
They did. As much as I don't want Liverpool to win. Hey, Brandy, you're a fine girl. I don't want Liverpool to win that league, it would be very detrimental to Everton for them not to finish the season and not get the money because they want to build a stadium soon and we need to sign players. And whew, that's rough.
Anyway.
Hey, girl.
Lot to think about.
Ryan has his dog in his lap, just so everybody knows.
If everybody out there could just sit around and think some good thoughts and say some big prayers, maybe we'll get over this soon.
If you got another movie suggestions for us to watch and talk about, since we're not going to have sports to talk about for the next however long,
ever,
let us know.
Yeah,
maybe ever again. Who knows?
Maybe we should rewatch some old Auburn games and talk about them. Who knows?
You know what? Someone is sports? Doing that.
Come on. Who's doing
that? Oh, yeah. Brewer Kraken is doing
that. Let's plug the site.
Brewmack's doing that on the site. It's really good.
It's really good if you want to watch some really bad Auburn games.
Yeah,
he's picked the worst games in Auburn history and is rewatching worst wins in Auburn history and is rewatching them all and commenting on them. And it's really funny. You should read it.
Yes, I agree.
All right. Well, for Ryan and Chief, this is Crow saying thanks for listening, and we really hope that you guys stay safe and stay healthy.
Oh no. And he's gone.
I like that he just leaves. I mean, that's